It's another timeless classic from, where are we going, 1982. I'm not buying that. That song sounded like it was just made the other day. That's, again, an example of timeless classics. Coming up next, I'll be speaking to a very special guest straight after this.
BBC Radio Wiltshire.
Now, our next guest is someone I've been wanting to have a sit down with for some time. She's been a contributor on subject matters on this show before. I've wanted her to actually come on air and tell her own story. She's a journalist, broadcaster, author, doctor in English, and in 2023, a winner of the Olivet Atella Prize in Black British Study. Let me welcome none other than Zakiya McKenzie to the show. How are you doing, Zeeks?
I am good. Thank you for having me. Give thanks. Hello out there to everyone.
I don't know whether to kneel or curtsy or what, but you are, you're a trailblazer.
Oh my gosh, style. Before anything, can we let the people know that my first gig in Bristol, you're the one that gave it to me? We have to make that known. Don't, community, when I just came, didn't have any references. You gave me my first gig. You gave me reference for my first job in England.
Well, let's have that conversation then, because I actually did want to start from the beginning. Who is Zakiya McKenzie and your journey from Jamaica to England? Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, so I mean, you said it. I am a writer and a creative. I'm just a person interested, I think, in history and culture and art. And I've just had the opportunity and sometimes the determination to put myself in certain settings to get things done or to learn certain things. And so now I am, finished a PhD. I am a senior researcher at the University of Bristol, but I also, still volunteer down at Ujima Radio, do a little bit of journalism there. Love to be around children, so I run art workshops often and with adults as well, not only children. And nature, of course, the kind of climate justice, climate change work, nature work as well, some of the things that I do. Yeah,
you must have an AI clone, because I can't figure out how all of that is achievable, but if someone's gonna make it happen is you. Listen, did you always have aspirations to study in England?
No, and not at all. I mean, I was born here, but I was raised in Jamaica. And actually, I was living in South Africa right before I came here. And my aspiration was to study there in South Africa. But some things happened, some things changed. And, I realized I would need to come to England. At the time, my son was very young too. And, came to England, and it seemed like it would be easier here for me to follow through with the master's. And I didn't intend to do a PhD either, right? I did intend to do the master's. The PhD, I only jumped into it because the PhD in English, because Kai Miller was advertised as the supervisor for the PhD, and Kai Miller is one of the best writers, top two writers, and maybe not top one writer from the Caribbean. And so I was like, the chance to learn from Kai Miller, of course. That's the only reason why I did a PhD.
Yeah, that's a blessing. When did you begin to have a desire in history? I mean, there's lots of things that you're interested in, but in particular history, when did that desire occur for you?
I think since I was young, they seem separate, the nature, the art and the history, but they all come from the same place. They all come out of the same kind of moment of being young and my family having that kind of edge already, having a little rebellious spirit, a bit of creative spirit as a family. But also, we spent a lot of time in Portland, in the country, where my mother and my grandmother, my mother's family is from. And I think there, the kind of appreciation for the natural world and the freedom that I got in the rural part of Jamaica compared to the city, it left an imprint on me. And it's a thing I always want to have access to. And I realize how much it has impacted my life in a positive way. And so I think, no, it's trying to either bring other people to have that kind of love or, expressing it. So, maybe I can influence someone there.
So in 2019, you were writer-in-resident for the Forestry England during its century year. How did that come about, and what did it entail in that role?
Yeah, that was really cool. That was I got that through just applying. It was an application, an open application process, and I guess, you know, I was good.
Of course.
I think there were like 1,000 applicants, and yeah, I was one of 2 that made it to the very, very final round. And
amazing.
In the end, we both were the writers. Big up Tiffany. And yeah, so it was really eye opening. I think I went to some parts of England that even my dad, who grew up in England, has never been to, right? Because I went as far as Cumbria, way up north, and was visiting the forests and the woodlands around England, and hoping to be inspired by it. You know, our unofficial name was Writer in the Forest, right? So
okay,
we were there, yeah, to learn about the different places and spaces and the people, right? I think one of my favorite places through all of that was the Forest of Dean, and weirdly enough, it was because it reminded me of Portland, where my family was from.
It's a very popular place with most people in the UK, isn't it? Forest of Dean.
If you go
out and about.
I can't see why.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's real country life. It just reminded me of country life in Jamaica as well. And so it became one of my favorite places, and I've been so inspired by it. I've done so much work on the Forest of Dean so far. Yeah.
Good place to visit. We're going to take a bit of a music break, Zakiya, but I'm going to come back with you because there's so much to cram into this first interview for the program. But before we can turn you on, let me play something from the Brother Johnson and Stomp. You might be stomping in the woods. I don't know. You might be stomping around, whatever. In nature. Mind the creatures though at the same time, you know what I mean? Welcome to your Friday evening here with myself, DJ Star, and I'm here till 10 PM. Stay with me. There are just some songs that are built for the weekend. There are just some songs that are built for make you dancing, or if you just want to stomp around, you could either do that. That is the Brother Johnson taking us back to the good old 80s. If my memory serves me right, I think Quincy Jones produced it. Another legend here on your BBC. And talking about legends, I got Zakiya McKenzie on the line, a true legend in the game. You stomping around to that one, Zeeks?
dancing.
So listen, we were just talking a bit about you know, you getting into forestry, your role in that particular time, 2019, but also I want to just kind of take it to 2021 when you wrote your testimony on the history of Jamaica, Volume 1, a pamphlet that reimagines archival fragments on the island's past. Just tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so Testimonies is a piece of historical fiction, and it's written in response to a book that came out in 1774, so a long time ago, 18th century, called The History of Jamaica, written by someone called Edward Long, and it became the kind of standard book that everyone who wrote about Jamaica kind of, you know, referred to until maybe the early 1900s. But we know what was happening in 1774, right? The book had a lot of really great environmental information, geographical information about Jamaica, but it also spoke about the economy at the time, which was a plantation, you know, slavery economy. And so my book is a retelling of it. It's called Testimonies on the History of Jamaica. And so it is the voices of the people who we would never hear, you know, whose voices would not be in Edward Long's book. And it also is a way for people to learn about the environment of Jamaica without having to read Edward Long's book, which has a lot of, you know, very unsavory things said in it. So it's in both ways, it's an answer to him, but it also gives people a chance to learn some of about the environment in Jamaica in that time, which he mentions that doesn't have to read the kind of very racist remarks that he makes as well.
So let me ask you, in your opinion, is there enough accurate stories of Jamaica's history? We talk about slavery, its rebellion, plus the discovery of the island. What's your thoughts around that?
That's a really good question. And I think absolutely there is a lot of accurate information out there already. And I mean, Edward Long's book is probably very accurate as well, right? I mean, there are some inaccuracies in it that I have found and I've written about. But his book itself is accurate for what we know of Jamaica or the environment which he speaks about and many of the places. What I think is missing, because this is not as I said, it wouldn't be in Edward Long's book or in any archive that is out there at this moment, is that it doesn't hold the voices of the indigenous people, the enslaved people, or the free people, the runaways. It doesn't have those voices, right? So whereas they are accurate histories, they aren't these alternative histories, right? And unfortunately, we cannot access them, like I said, because they weren't recorded at the time. So my work is something that kind of plugs that gap with a historical fiction book in a way, and kind of gives us a chance to access some of those other parts that, you know, we know they happened, we know they are there, but we don't have any, you know, coming from the university, we don't have any academic backing to say that it really happened, and which is why I use this kind of historical fiction medium.
Which is great, because it's important for you to tell these stories as well. You know, we need to hear we need to hear them. Like, when did your love for nature start? It sounds like it always has started anyway, really, from your early conversations.
Yeah, man, I would say from as I said, those times in country, just being young and in country. And it was almost like the country gave me a freedom that, like I said, it didn't have in town, whereas I could just leave my grandmother's house and nobody would be worried in a way, because it's like a small village, so everybody knows everybody, and you can't give trouble because your grandmother gonna
somebody
hear
will
about
know.
It before, right? Before you get home, your grandmother know about it.
Yeah.
And so it was a lot of that, I think. And so before it was even an appreciation for nature and the green spaces, it was appreciation for that kind of freedom and closeness that you can have in those spaces, right? And when I first came to England, you know, I thought there's nothing to love because it's flat, or compared to Jamaica, it's green, flat.
No sunshine neither.
No sunshine. But I quickly, you know, very quickly as I was traveling around the country, I kind of lose that idea. It's very beautiful. The places I absolutely love, like I said, the Forest of Dean is one. Maiden Castle in Dorset is one. They're places that I absolutely think are beautiful and I love them. And I've come to the conclusion that a nature lover in one place is a nature lover in another place. No matter if it's tropical, tundra, you know, Arctic. You might have your favorites, of course. I'm always going to want to be by the beach or the riverside. But, you know, we can find little pockets of love around as well.
I mean, I said I've wanted to get you on the show. I feel like we need a dedicated show to you alone. Listen,
oh my gosh.
I mean, you're a senior research associate, as you said, a creative research in the University of Bristol's History Department. You're working on Plans, Enslavement and Public History Project. Just tell us a bit about that before we have to let you go.
Yeah, so this is a project led by Jessica Moody, associate professor now, Jessica Moody at the University of Bristol, and I'm a senior researcher on it. Really and truly what we're looking at, as I said, is these histories of enslavement and colonialism through the lens of plants, through the lens of botanical gardens, gardens, and kind of a lot of the remnants of what we have now. You know, you'd be surprised how much of what is growing in outside and inside in Britain was brought here under, you know, because of slavery and colonialism. And, you know, we very often only consider the sugar, the tobacco, the coffee, the things that we consume, the tea, right? Tea coming from India, from Asia, actually. So not just the Caribbean and Africa, but other places that were in the British Empire. And, you know, we see them as very British, and we see the botanical garden as British, but we don't actually consider that these advancements in science, technology, in botany happened because there was access to other parts of the world, which was at the detriment of indigenous people. And native people, many, many different people, not just, you know, African and Caribbean people who were enslaved. There were so many people across the world who, and also they are not acknowledged, right? A lot of the plant knowledge that then came back into Europe, it was because of these people. And as I'm saying, they're not recorded anywhere in an archive. Their names aren't there. So
we can't
reach for them. So this project is a way to tell these stories and to connect these histories, just to give us a more accurate and open view of what really happened in our past that has us where we are today.
It's great to see that you're taking the lead on this and this initiative and getting that message out there and educating people at the same time as well, Zakiya. If people want to find more about you, check out your publications, where would they need to go?
Yeah, so you can find me at zakiyamackenzie.com, or actually zakiya.me. So that's zakiya.me. It hasn't been updated in a while, but you can message me there.
You'll be
you can
there.
Find me. It has all the publications up until about last year. I think I have two more since then. And you can find out about this pamphlet that I'm telling you about. You can buy it from Rough Trade Books, or actually most bookshops, Bookhouse in Bristol has it. Most places have it now. And or just find me on Instagram at Zakiya Media, Z-A-K-I-A. Akiyemedia. It's probably where I share a lot more of my work. I should be much better about sharing it, but well, I am not, you know.
You know, you're human after all. You can be given on what out on one thing, you know, the amount of stuff that you're doing. Listen,
thanks.
Before I let you go, it is Reggae Month. We've been celebrating it here on BBC. And I'd like to know what song that resonates with you and why.
So I think I am going to go with probably, I was thinking something like maybe Ken Booth or Sophia George, right? So the Ken Booth, Everything I Own, because I think I am giving everything I own into this work and to anyone who is interested and, you know, to my family out there as well. So I'm very happy to go with Ken Booth. And also this song has memory for me being in Jamaica as a child.
Perfect.
Ken Booth, Everything I Own. So thank you for having me.
Excellent. Journalist, broadcaster, author, Dr. Zakiya McKenzie, Testimonies on the History of Jamaica, Volume 1 is out amongst her other publications. Thank you for speaking to us tonight.
Thank you so much. All the best. Thank you.
Keep it moving though.
Yeah, please
Zakiya McKenzie requested this song, Ken Booth, Everything I Own. Our special